heroes, and we've got these guys. Connor, Mackie, and Bernie are the rookies. Three sports fans left unsupervised in the studios of Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, bringing you a whole, literally new sports talk show. The Rookies starts now.
You know what time it is.
Oh, wow.
It's time for the Rookies, right here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Oh, we're going to let it break it down a little bit. Oh,
my okay. God. Don't stop.
Oh, Mackie.
Now, Bernie.
Mackie, you got to stop with this voice.
I when I like walked I'm... in and you said, we got some new funk music to play during the show.
If anybody
you
know, wants...
I said, I don't believe you. I don't think this music will be that good, but I'm feeling myself
If
right
anybody
now.
Wants to credit the music on this show, it is me.
It is Bernie.
I put the music beds in.
Oh, I can definitely
it is
Bernie.
That voice you're hearing, that's Liam Bishop. And to his left is also Bernie Bowles. My name is Mackie Gallagher. Liam Bishop is a friend of the show. He goes by Big Cat Bernie. Bernie Bowles, my man, always here on a Saturday and Sunday morning, and myself, Mackie Gallagher. We are the Rookies right here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, 103.7 HD3. We appreciate you spending an hour of your Sunday morning with us. Also, if you are not in the Charlotte area and want to check out the Rookies from 10 to 11 on weekend mornings, check us out on foxsportsradiocharlotte.com or download our mobile app, available for both iPhone and Android devices. It may be coming out for the Motorola Razr later. We're trying to get that figured out,
Blackberry
but we will
too.
See. Maybe the Blackberry, is, if that thing's even, is that even still a phone?
But the Sidekick.
Razr?
The Razr.
Yeah, but the Razr, but is Razr
I know the
be.
Razr's still a phone, but is the Blackberry even still a thing? I knew that was like the first smartphone.
Remember your BBM?
You had the whole keyboard
Blackberry
on there.
Messenger.
The
whole, it was amazing.
It was a good time.
I went to my friend's, felt connected, like a businessman.
Yeah.
I went to my friend's house, and you know those cell phones back in the day to where you had the numbers on the front, then you slid it up, and you had the little keyboards? I saw that, and that was my first ever phone in middle school. It was great. My mom said, if you pass the EOGs in eighth grade, she was like, I'll get you your first cell phone.
EOGs.
End of grade testing.
I had my EOGs read to me, so.
Liam is such a good guy. We don't hold that against
him. You know
what?
My mom's tactic worked, though, because I passed those EOGs, and I got myself a cell phone.
Nice.
And it was a fun time. We have a lot to talk about today. We do have the championship Sunday. We have the Green Bay Packers taking on the San Francisco 49ers in Santa Clara. And we also have the game I am most excited for, the Tennessee Titans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also discuss some of this OBJ fiascos going on after the whole national championship last weekend and what's following up with that security guard at the Superdome that wanted an arrest warrant out for OBJ after he smacked him on the butt. But there is one thing I do want to talk about, and it happened last night. It was the Conor McGregor versus Cowboy fight. And right now, with Conor McGregor winning in 40 seconds, is Conor McGregor, could he be considered the best, if not already the best MMA fighter in the UFC right now?
I just want to start it off real quick by saying I think it's ridiculous that they charge what they charge for pay-per-view. And okay. The fight lasts 40 seconds.
That's why I got to go to a bar.
Like get out of here.
Highway robbery.
Get out of here. Yeah. So I have to leave the comfort of my home to watch someone get the crap beat out of them. I just want to watch that from home.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, I have to go out and buy beers and all that kind of stuff at the bar, and then they're upcharged like $3 because it's a fight night.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
I paid $5 to get into DJs in Salisbury. It was a good time. We watched all the preliminary fights. I know nothing really about UFC or like how the scheduling and stuff works. I do enjoy watching all these big events, but I walked in. I thought the McGregor fight was at 10, and apparently that's just when the preliminary fights start.
And so I started drinking
a little bit. It was a fun time. 40 seconds. You're just watching, and Conor McGregor comes out and just hits him like right out the gate, knees him, and then he pretty much wins with his shoulder. Conor McGregor, I mean, I think the first ever Conor McGregor fight I saw was the one that he had before the Mayweather fight. I can't remember even who it was, but that was the fight he played in. And then I saw the Mayweather fight, thought that was insane, loved that. And then I've watched the Khabib fight where he lost, and I was heartbroken because I saw that documentary, the Notorious MMA or Notorious Conor McGregor on Netflix, and that's one of my favorite documentaries. I liked his work ethic. I like where he comes from. He stays true to his roots. He supports the people that have been with him from the beginning, and I'll always respect that in an athlete. But 40 seconds for the main event. And I believe like he has like some of the most first round knockouts in the UFC. Like I said, I'm not big on the UFC. I don't know much. I don't know much about the history. I'm not going to pretend that I know about the UFC. But 40 seconds. That's his second fastest win. I wasn't expecting it. Like I said, don't know anything, but I thought this is going to be a huge fight, and it was going to last all five rounds.
Yeah, he's an Ireland guy, hometown of Ireland. Gotta love him. I'm Irish myself. So.
All right.
His story, like you said, that documentary, you can't hate the story, but sometimes Conor McGregor, like, just his antics off the octagon are a little bit questionable, and you're like, kind of like the OBJ thing. But, you know, 40 seconds, I wasn't going to go out because it's happened to me so many times where I've gone out, spent my money on beers, watched the preliminary fights, and it's like, all right, let's go. This is why we're out here. And I've felt robbed plenty of times. So last night we played game night. I played a little bit of Sequence and some Monopoly.
I love that.
So, like, even when you go out and you have a few beers with the friends and you're watching a fight, even though the fight didn't last that long and you're like, oh, it's over just like that, you going out with friends and having a few beers wasn't worth it alone?
Maybe when you're young, Mackie.
Maybe when you're young.
Things like that matter. But when you get older, you just don't care about friends or anything like that. You just care about, you know, making sure you pay your rent and utilities.
Older than me, Birdie, but you're also still in your 20s. I feel like you're 20.
You know what Les says. I wear sweaters and all that stuff. I'm older than I am.
Les did say that you had a sweater tucked in the first time he saw you.
No, I did not have a sweater tucked in. That is ridiculous. Who tucks in sweaters?
I thought Birdie Bowles tucks in sweaters.
No, it's not me.
No, but after like my third or fourth whiskey and coke, I had to pull a Luke Kuechly, and I was like, it's never the right time to step away, but it's the right time to step away.
Mackie getting a little sauced up.
I know. I never drink, really. I never go out and drink, mainly because I'm poor, and I feel that. Spent a good amount of money yesterday. Not happy about it. Didn't get home till like 1 or 2, and then now I'm here.
Now he's
good
here.
Good times. This is dedication, man. This is dedication.
Time,
I had my Pepto-Bismol stopped, and I had some... I got my McDonald's biscuits real quick. Thank you for the McGriddle yesterday.
You're
Bernie.
Welcome.
Bernie brought in breakfast for everybody yesterday.
Trying to be a team player here. Yeah, I don't really bring anything to the table, so I figured I'd bring some McGriddles to the table.
I appreciate that. I didn't know syrup was in the biscuit.
Oh, that's a conversation. Essentially, chicken and waffles.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you got yesterday.
That's a conversation for another. That was my first ever McGriddle.
Wow.
All right. So
wow.
I run a democracy here on the Rookies and the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Which game are y'all most interested to talk about? Because you know, championship weekend for the NFL, we're going to have to preview these two playoff games, and that's going to be a majority of this show. So we have Green Bay versus San Francisco, and then we have Tennessee versus Kansas City. I'm fine with starting out with either.
I'm going to jump in there. AFC matchup. I am high on the Titans. I love it.
Wow.
I love the Titans, man. They're out there, and every time I see them play for these last like couple weeks, taking out these number one division, these division leaders, I think of Sandlot, where they go out and play the middle school guys. They got all the matching uniforms and everything. They don't have anything to lose. Titans have nothing to lose. They are out there, you know. Hey, we're on the goal line. Why don't we just give it to our running back and have him do a little jump pass in the end zone? All right, go out there, have fun, guys.
And that's what Bernie said before the show. He said they're pretty much playing with house money. I mean, you're the sixth seed playing. And I remember I tweeted out when they were beating Baltimore. I said we might be. I think I'm witnessing one of the greatest NFL comebacks or upsets I've ever seen with the Baltimore-Tennessee game. And people are like saying, "You really think it's an upset?" I said this team started out 1-6. They're the sixth seed playing the impenetrable Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. Of course it's an upset. And also, the Titans, this isn't new news. This them going off in the playoffs, I mean, it is. They have won 9 of their last 12 games. I mean, this is definitely the hottest team in the NFL. And out of these four teams, I would say they're one of the best teams in terms of how they played this past season, especially starting with Ryan Tannehill coming in. Yes, there are stars on these other teams. Yes, San Francisco has that crazy defense. Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes in that offense. But I'm a firm believer that defense wins playoff games. Defense wins championships. And right now, Tennessee in this matchup definitely has the better defense, and they are riding with the hotter hand, even though Kansas City had one of the craziest comeback stories in NFL postseason history last week.
Titans did it to them before, 21-point deficit. It was 2000, can't remember, 2000, 12? I can't remember. They were down 21 mm-hmm. against Kansas City and came back and beat them.
Okay.
It was a playoff game.
And Tennessee and Kansas City usually is a good game.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what? Of course we're going to talk about Derrick Henry. That's a given. Derrick Henry is the main reason why the Titans are right here. But what else with this game, whether it's Kansas City or Tennessee, are y'all most looking forward to?
And I will just point out that Derrick Henry, the first rushing champion to actually make it to a conference game, conference championship game since 2007 when LT did it. But I'm looking at Ryan Tannehill here, and I think Ryan Tannehill is serviceable, and I think that's all you really need to be. We've talked about it in the playoffs, Mackie, is not make mistakes.
That's all you need.
Don't shoot your team in the foot, and I think Tannehill's done a good job of doing that, not just the later half of the season, but in the playoffs, he's made throws in crucial moments, and he's not padded the stat sheet. I think he's finished. He might has like 200 yards passing in the playoffs.
Yeah, under,
which is maybe definitely
under 200.
Yeah. So Derrick Henry obviously going to get a bulk of the load, but even when you stack the box against Derrick Henry, he's still effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's they predicate their game off the play action, and I think they're going to hit that a lot today. They're going to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, like you've seen all playoffs. And unless Kansas City can stop that and force them to make Tannehill beat them, I see this being a shootout, honestly.
Actions have consequences. When you oppress people, they rise up in a fiery anger.
And the reason I'm playing that, Bernie.
Why is that?
Is because you hit the nail on the head with how you just don't have to mess up. And we talk about this week by week, but we saw it completely with Lamar Jackson. He is 0-2 in the playoffs right now. I'm not even going to begin to speculate, is he a good playoff quarterback? Because so many greats have not got off to the best playoff start. And he's younger than Joe Burrow, who just won the national championship in college football. The ceiling is so high for Lamar Jackson. It was just a bad way to an incredible season, or a bad ending to an incredible season. But Lamar Jackson, I believe, against Tennessee last week, tried too hard to do too much. I think he tried too hard to do too much with his legs. You saw that on the early fourth down conversions that they did not get through the air. He was trying to force the ball downfield, where the Titans, I have to give them credit, were playing amazing pass coverage against the Baltimore Ravens.
They were.
But it's just like when you're a team that has an identity, which right now the Tennessee Titans have big physical football. Even look at their wide receivers. I mean, they could have gotten speed. They could have gotten agility. They just wanted to beat smaller teams, and that's exactly what the Titans are doing. And when you have a guy like Derrick Henry running the ball as Ryan Tannehill, what do? You pass when you need to. There's no reason. If Derrick Henry's having 7 yards a carry like he did in Kansas City earlier this season, I mean, why would you need to pass the ball? But when Ryan Tannehill needed to pass the ball, especially against the Patriots, which I'm so impressed with, are the he converted on three straight third downs mm-hmm. on the final drive
huge.
Of the game,
yeah,
and that's
huge.
Why he barely finished with 72 yards. Yeah. Before that, I think he had like 29.
Yeah,
but another big one that we haven't hit is special teams. Man, their kicker was it Kern?
Oh, their punter, yeah.
Yeah, their punter.
He should have won the MVP of that game.
Coffin corner, dude. Mm-hmm.
And in the Patriots game, stuck it at the 1 yard line.
He pins him deep. He's got a boot that is just amazing. He will stick it. And that's going to be a big thing in this game, too, making long drives for those guys. It's going to be huge.
Also, Frank Clark, running his mouth, saying Derrick Henry is not hard to tackle. Frank, it happened last week. Earl Thomas decided to say that Derrick Henry is not hard to tackle, and he got spun around and pushed in the back.
There were guys jumping out of the way.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to get hurt.
I just want to say, we've said this a lot on the show, it's cold. Nobody wants to tackle Derrick Henry.
He's a Clydesdale.
I'm not sure. What's the weather like in Kansas City today? Let's check that out.
I don't know, but my friend who lives in Kansas City posted on a Snapchat story this morning, and his car was covered in ice. So, I mean, I don't need the exact numbers, but I would say ice exists in cold conditions. Frank Clark's quote was saying, he's not that hard to hit. He's just a big guy, 240, 245, 250, referencing his weight. Honestly, he should be running harder at his weight and his side. I don't see no difficulty in tackling him.
He runs a 4.5.
That was the Chiefs defensive end, Frank Clark. And if, like you mentioned, Bernie, if you recall, Earl Thomas said that Derrick Henry isn't that hard to tackle for him. And Derrick Henry spun him around and had Earl Thomas block for him. So I'm really interested to see Derrick Henry run through Frank Clark, because right now, when you say that, did you see the outfit he was wearing when he arrived in Kansas City?
No, what was it?
No, they said with the combination of Frank Clark saying all that and then the drip of Derrick Henry, he's going to have 26 carries for 305 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Wow, I really like that.
No, it's not going to happen, but
that's
I'm ready. Derrick Henry, he's going to have at least two touchdowns today, and he is going to run through the face of Frank Clark. If you say that, Derrick Henry is going to make sure that you regret saying it.
And just a side note, it is 10 degrees right now in Kansas City. The high is 22 today. It's good luck tackling Derrick Henry. I mean, I'm sorry.
If you all right, so let's revisit the stat. He's just a big guy. 240, 245, 250.
6'3".
So you're
which
telling
one is
me,
it, Frank?
So you're telling me, even if it's 240, 245, 250, in 10-degree weather, that running a 4.5 at me probably hit me at like 19.5 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. I'd die.
That's dumb.
Yeah, I would literally be dead on the field.
Do y'all watch the show The Boys on Amazon Prime?
Oh, love it.
You love it? All right. I would be, and if you're listening, I hope you get this reference, I would be Huey's girlfriend when the A-Train goes right through her. And A-Train runs thousands of miles per hour, and he just ran through somebody, and he just uplifted. That's how the whole show starts.
That's awesome.
It's like a molar caught in his
mouth. Yeah.
Wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah. No, yeah, and it's not really a spoiler, because everything happens after that. Mm-hmm. No, if you haven't watched The Boys on Amazon Prime, definitely go check out The Boys. The Titans... I'm riding with them. I've been riding with them since the first week of the playoffs. I've been riding with them ever since, of course, after the Carolina Panthers game. Like I said, Ryan Tannehill, when you go to your uncle's place and you're watching the Panthers and he's a Dolphins fan, you're going to have the Panthers and Dolphins on two TVs right in front of you. And I had to sit there and watch Ryan Tannehill try so hard to make a team relevant who had good pieces. I mean, he had Jarvis Landry and Kenyon Drake, but I just watched Ryan Tannehill for 3 years. I either had to like him or else my life would be misery on Sunday watching the Panther games. So I'm really excited for the Tennessee Titans to take on the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have the better offense. I mean, the Chiefs' offense is just legendary when they get the ball. You saw that last week against the Texans. But the thing is, this game, you need to stop the run. And I don't think the Chiefs' defense can do that. I really don't think they can. Do y'all see any situation to where Derrick Henry is not running for over 120 yards?
I honestly don't see it. It's definitely going to be in triple digits. We've seen it time and time again. And it's not like if he doesn't get good yardage in his first couple runs that they're not going to give him the rock. They're going to keep on feeding that man. He's going to keep on eating. No spoon. And the other thing is there's a lot of pressure on Andy Reid to get in that Super Bowl and win that Super Bowl, because that's what you need. That's what people look at. You know, everybody talks about Dan Marino, great quarterback. Yeah, but he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all these.
And he's only been in one, correct?
He's only been in one, and that was with the Eagles against the Patriots. And, you know, he gets there. He gets the job done, but he can't finish. And you got to be able to finish to get that cred. Mm-hmm. And everybody has respect for him around the league. And they even asked Patrick Mahomes, they're like, hey, how much – would it mean more to you or Andy Reid if you guys won the Super Bowl? And he didn't even hesitate. He's like, Andy Reid.
Oh, definitely.
You know? Like, it's a lot of pressure on him.
I think people are kind of looking forward with Patrick Mahomes. But with Andy Reid, it's like, dude, you have one of the best offenses I think I've definitely ever seen in my lifetime with the Kansas City Chiefs back-to-back years. I mean, he made it to the AFC Championship 2 years in a row. Andy Reid is deserving of this game. But also, I think the Tennessee Titans are even more deserving from a different aspect. Yeah, the Kansas City has worked hard, and they proved that they deserve to be there. Tennessee has built themselves, and they benched their franchise quarterback. That's a big deal. For Ryan Tannehill, who I think is a good football player, but it's not somebody who when you see him picked up on the stat sheet, if like someone said, all right, Ryan Tannehill is going to the Panthers, bench Cam Newton for Ryan Tannehill.
All right. Let's
what's gonna happen?
Nothing. Let's do it.
People will go crazy. And then you watch him play, and then it just hasn't let up. And then now in the playoffs, you're so one dimensional, but it doesn't matter. It does not matter. You are running through the throats of your opponents, and your defense is getting stops. Mike Vrabel has coached a great team over there in Tennessee. But also, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're 9-0 when allowing their opponents to rush less than 110 yards. 4-4 when opponents rush more than 110 yards. And that's why I bring it up, because I don't see a way where Derrick Henry does not get less than 110 yards.
Their run defense isn't that great, and that's been all year. It's not like one or two games or anything where they've had a hiccup. That's been all year. And when you're quarterback is your leading rusher week after week, it's not going to happen. Patrick Mahomes was the leading rusher. They don't have a rushing attack. Granted, they can sling the thing around and throw the ball all over the place, but you got to be able to have some sort of rushing attack, in my opinion. It's just not there.
My heart is telling me to pick the Titans. It really is. Mm-hmm. But my brain is telling me to pick the Chiefs. Big time.
Well, your brain's wrong, but carry on.
No, my heart steered me wrong plenty of times, Mackie. And I'm going to go with my brain today.
Okay.
Every single statistic is telling me to pick the Chiefs, except for rushing. Obviously, they're
and before we do picks, when we're talking about statistics, I'm going to interrupt you because I want to throw this out there and I want to spark this. Real quick, per NFL Next Gen Stats, it's one of these weird stats that they just throw out in your face, but I think it's really irrelevant to this case. The Chiefs' wideouts have been open, and open is defined by 3+ yards of separation. Okay, the Chiefs' wideouts have been open on 45.6% of their targets this season.
Wow.
Almost 50% of their targets, the Chiefs' wideouts have 3 or more yards of separation.
They're so fast.
They're so fast. That's a crazy stat.
Yeah.
Now, with the Tennessee Titans, I thought they played great defense against the Baltimore Ravens. I thought the pass defense, they were smothering. And then, of course, Lamar still threw for like 350 yards, but some of that was in garbage time. Do you think that the Tennessee Titans' pass coverage can keep up with Patrick Mahomes in this offense? Because that's the ultimate weapon. Like, if you're thinking of weapons with the team, you have Derrick Henry in the run game, the physicality of the Tennessee Titans. Then you have the playmaking ability of Patrick Mahomes to his receivers, to his targets, and to Travis Kelce. But in this circumstance, in this specific battle between the Titans' pass defense and Patrick Mahomes in that offense, who wins that one? Do you think the Titans can hold them at bay at all?
And I know that they did beat him in the regular season, Mackie.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Chiefs, the ability to score so quickly is what makes me feel like I can't pick against them. I picked against them last week. The Texans were proving me right there for the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chiefs went on a 51-7 run. It was crazy. So I just don't think so. I don't think that the Titans can keep up with Patrick Mahomes' arm. They scored 5 touchdowns in just over 12 and a half minutes of game time.
Ooh,
that's crazy.
Wow, that's crazy.
Guys, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here with the rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, 94.7 FM, 1660 AM. We're going to talk a little bit of Packers 49ers, and we're going to talk about OBJ. Is he a little bit selfish? Maybe. He might be. Don't go anywhere. Back here with the rookies.
Stewart, and you're listening to The Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
I'm Fox Sports Radio, Charlotte. Liam Bishop, a.k.a. Big Cat, Bernie Bowles, and Mackie G in the studio with you today. We just got done talking Kansas City, or not just got done, but we're wrapping up some Kansas City, Tennessee Titans talk. The AFC Championship game happens today at 3:05 in Arrowhead Stadium, where the temperature, I believe, as Bernie said, our wonderful meteorologist here at Fox Sports Radio, Charlotte, he said it is 10 degrees. And it is going to be a very chilly one.
It'll be about 20 at game time.
How do you think meteorologists talk?
Well, Mackie, it'll be about 20 degrees at game time. Yeah, I just think it's going to be too cold.
It will be
it's
cold.
It's going to be too cold. But
the reason we're bringing it up is because Frank Clark said that Derrick Henry is not hard to hit. No.
There's all these things, Mackie, that make me want to pick the Titans. I'm telling you.
Ice up, son.
There's so many things. Up. Like, there's a... They're playing with house money.
Yeah.
Make a decision.
Cold.
Make a decision.
I'm picking the Chiefs.
All right.
I have to go with the Chiefs. And I also think the NFL wants to have a Packers-Chiefs Super Bowl because it's year 100, and that was the first Super Bowl.
Ooh. And the NFL wants to have that as well as State Farm. Patrick Mahomes.
That is absolutely true, Mackie.
Patrick Mahomes and Green and Aaron Rodgers are two huge spokespeople the State Farm Insurance, and I imagine that they will take out at least $35 million in advertising space in the Super Bowl if that happens. But that'll be interesting. I would definitely get tired of the State Farm commercials, though. But with the Tennessee Titans, I'm not picking against them. I've stuck with them through the Patriots. I've stuck with them through the Baltimore Ravens. I told you, my dad trained me. He trained my brother and I to be underdog fans. Every March Madness, he would come up to us, and he would say, all right, here are these 5 teams. What teams are we cheering for? And they'll be like St. Mary's, George Mason. That year, George Mason made it to like the Elite Eight. That was like our underdog team.
Oh, Jim Larinaga.
And also, the St. Louis Blues, worst team in NHL hockey in midway through the season, won the Stanley Cup. Washington Nationals, best team in baseball since May 24th.
It's the year.
Got in on the final day of the season
year
for
the
Washington
underdog.
Nationals.
The year of the underdog.
And they made it from the wild card round and won the World Series. And then the Tennessee Titans got in to the playoffs on the final day of the 2019 regular season. It is the year of the underdogs. Fate is on Tennessee Titans' side. I'm taking Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. Lock it in.
Nothing's been easy for them. I don't think it's ever been done where a team has beat four division leaders, because their last game of the season was, what, the 49ers? Or, no, Texans. Texans, and they were at the top of their division. Then they go and beat the Patriots, top of their division. Then they go and beat the Ravens, top of their division. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's never, literally, never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And, you know, everybody knows if you watch NFL, momentum is everything. They've got that momentum. That's one of the big reasons why I think the Ravens lost, is because they took, what, like 2 weeks off. They sat their starters, and then they had the bye week. That can be detrimental to people.
Yeah,
and
their starters didn't play in over 21 days.
Yeah, that's huge. And all this momentum for the Titans right now, I'm really high on the Titans, man. Call me a Titans fan.
No two teams have been hotter, I feel like, down the stretch than the Titans and the Chiefs. Chiefs really turned it on towards the end of the year. Their defense in the last five games only allowed 11.5 points.
Okay.
That's a big deal to me. For a defense that's, I believe, 26th in the league in yards per game allowed and 29th in yards per attempt, that's not good. But what gives me hope is that down the stretch they started to play better. And last week, just the offensive output, the firepower they've got, and the, what you said, yards separation, 45% of the time.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't pick against the Chiefs, although I'm rooting for the Titans. I would love to see the Titans make it to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. I would love to see that happen, but I got to go with the Chiefs today.
See, and people are always like, the Titans shouldn't be in the Super Bowl. Like, because at one point, I was like, you know what? Titans-Texans AFC Championship.
Pure chaos. Let's just do it.
And like, I want to see teams. Like, I want every big game to just have that team to where it's just like, why the hell are they here? And they just shut everybody up.
Yeah.
Like, even with Utah in the college football playoff, it's just like, who wants to see Utah? Me! I want to see Utah. I just want to see the most obscure.
Don't want to see Oklahoma again
in the final. Yeah. But so I'm assuming you're taking Tennessee.
Yeah,
William,
definitely. I mean, I'm a native Charlottean. I go with my heart. I'm a Panthers and Hornets fan. I got to go with my heart on this one.
Do we want to do scores, Mackie, or do we just want to pick?
Scores. I'm too dumb enough for scores. I ain't gonna be right.
Yeah, it's numbers.
This is the Rookie right here on Fox Sports Radio, Charlotte 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, Fox Sports Radio, Charlotte.com. Tennessee Titans, Kansas City Chiefs, 305. Titans have won 9 of the last 12. Kansas City is 9-0 when allowing opponents to rush for 110 yards or less. 4-4 when they allow them more. And we talked about how on almost 50% of their targets this season, Chiefs wideouts have 3 or more yards of separation, which is officially declared open.
Panthers need that.
Yes, it is crazy. Let's move over to the other exciting game, the NFC Championship. The Green Bay Packers versus San Francisco 49ers. Green Bay lost to San Francisco in a horrible fashion, 38-7 early on
horrible.
In the season.
Teams
who lost by 20 or more points then played that same opponent in the postseason have lost 13 straight. So right now, history is not on the side for
Mackie.
Green Bay. Also,
that's a great stat.
Next day or the next week, they lost to the Los Angeles Chargers. And it was not that good of a game. I think it was like 28-11. So right now, I usually don't think this is a big factor, but the Green Bay Packers traveling to the West Coast has not fared well for them in 2019. Packers have given up the fourth most yards to a tight end, and this season we expect George Kittle to be a huge role, or play a huge role in this game. So I'm just going to start the discussion with Green Bay, San Francisco, Big Cat. What are you looking at for this game?
What is up? So, call me a cheesehead. Like I said, I like taking the underdogs. I don't know what the point spread is here, but I know they're an underdog in this one. And I have a buddy who's a really big Packers fan. We went to Duckworth the other night, and we were watching the 1998 wild card game where T.O. caught the game-winning touchdown at the end of regulation from Steve Young. And I'm like, he wouldn't watch. He's like, dude, we lose. I was like,
And real quick, like San Francisco -8.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
That line's moved a little bit.
It has moved a little bit. That's definitely a two-score game. But I just think the passing attack that Garoppolo can turn on, that none of us really expected because he was hurt his first year in San Francisco and really never put up any numbers or got that chance to in New England, went over to the 49ers, and he's letting it fly. I had my doubts earlier in the season because I was like, oh, the defense is winning them games. And then he started turning it on. And a big move that a lot of people forget about is when they picked up Emmanuel Sanders. And yes. It was right before we played them. And I wanted Emmanuel Sanders.
He torched us.
Let's go get him. And we didn't. And
then he got 2 touchdowns against the Panthers.
Swagged out.
I didn't think he would. I thought it'd take him a minute to get acclimated to the playbook. I definitely had a bad take on that one.
No, we both did.
But he's a vet, and he can do that and turn it on. And that presence for their wide receiver core is huge. And it speaks more than you can imagine. That helps out Garoppolo a lot, too.
And I will say this, and not relating to this game, but the last 3 years, the games I have picked for my friends to all come over and we have a whole viewing party. Normally, I just go over to my neighbor's house, and it's just us two. We drink a few beers and watch the game. But, like, I had a whole spread of chips, and, like, we made hot dogs and stuff. 2017, it was the Bears game. Remember the Bears game where the Panthers lost like 31-7 or whatever? It was just horrible from the get-go. 2018 was the Pittsburgh Steelers game. These are all games that I invited my whole friend group over to come watch.
I was in Pittsburgh that Thursday night.
And then this year was the San Francisco 49ers. So I have picked the absolute worst games to try to have an enjoyable time with my friends. I just wanted to throw that out there. Sorry.
That's okay.
I need to rant about it because I don't trust me when you want me to host a football party. Don't let me pick the game.
I think Mackie today, in order for the Packers to win, you're gonna have to see something like this.
He put the team on his back. Dog, let's go inside the mind of a Greg Jennings, Darren Sharper, one of the most hardest hitting safeties in the league. But I put the team on my back, dude. You can't stop me. Cross the plane, touchdown, Greg Jennings.
Now, obviously, Greg Jennings does not play for the Packers anymore.
Put the team on my back.
And he did. He did put the team with a broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
So
amazing video.
It was a great video. I'm going to pick with my head today, guys. I'm just going to keep picking with my head. But I think that it's been pretty impressive the Packers have made it this far, considering Aaron Rodgers has not played his best football this year. There's been a few games where you're like, there's Aaron Rodgers. But majority of the year, you're like, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? Mm-hmm. The fact that he has a great running game has masked a lot of his deficiencies this year. I'm just waiting for him to turn it on because it's playoff time. I think that there's a chance he could do it today. But like I said, when I look at the numbers, except for turnover differential, which the Packers lead in,
mm-hmm.
The 49ers just look like a team that is destined to go to the Super Bowl. And I think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
And I think it's also, I mean, we have to show enough respect to the 49ers to bring in that last game that they played. I mean, when you beat a team who finished 13-3, Green Bay was a very quiet 13-3 team. Everybody knew they were good, but, you know, it was being masked by the San Francisco 49ers, the Ravens, and, of course, the Titans run late in the season. And, of course, the Chiefs and Texans, all these younger quarterback teams that are making the playoffs are going to be praised more now than Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers because it could be, quote-unquote, old news, if you want to put it that way. But Aaron Rodgers, 26 touchdowns on the regular season, 4 interceptions. Jimmy Garoppolo had himself a great season. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he fits Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback. I think he's a very talented quarterback, and I think he found a system with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan definitely makes jobs for his players easier, and that's not a complaint at all, or that's not a diss, because that's all you want from your head coach. But with Aaron Rodgers, I will say this. I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers. I've been a fan of Aaron Rodgers. I remember sitting in my dorm room on my dorm or in a room on my dorm floor freshman year and watching Aaron Rodgers just tear up the NFL with those Hail Marys. This was 2015. This is the year the Panthers made it to the Super Bowl, but Aaron Rodgers was going off. That was when he had that Hail Mary against the Lions, against the Cardinals, and against one other team, and we're just watching all of them, and I'm like, this man is insane. But if you think about it, he has that one Super Bowl, 2011. Nothing really after that. I think he's been in the NFC Championship again after that, right? Like 2014?
Yeah.
Was that the Dez catch, or that wasn't called a catch? But we haven't really seen much from Aaron Rodgers or the Green Bay Packers since. And I do believe he is one of the better quarterbacks we've ever seen. But he needs to show us again on a bigger stage. He is him and the 49ers, and doing it against the 49ers would be huge with how good this defense is for San Francisco. But I am looking at Aaron Rodgers. You said we're looking for somebody to put the team on their back. Aaron Rodgers is the guy that needs to put the team on his back because you have weapons in Aaron Jones, a great running back. I love Aaron Jones, and I think he's going to be a future star. He already is a star, but I think he's going to be one of those future star running backs in the league in the next few years. You have Devontae Adams. But the thing is, who else on Green Bay do you really have in the passing game other than Davante Adams? That's when you're looking at your star quarterback, the GOAT, as some would say, to make some plays, give the ball to everybody, because the 49ers are going to come out and shut you down if you do the same thing y'all did last week. Aaron Rodgers has to put the game in his hands, and he needs to make plays. And honestly, as somebody who's watched football his whole life, but I don't really remember much from certain points in my life. Like, I remember 8th grade, freshman year of high school, I wasn't watching the NFL.
Too much drinking will do that to you, Mackie.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
well,
and
when I was 13.
Yeah.
But
you've been drinking for a long time, Mackie. I'm just saying.
Start him young.
When I was in 8th grade, freshman year, I don't really remember much of that 2010-2011 season, and that was when Aaron Rodgers made it to the Super Bowl. So I want to see him again. I want to see him now that like I'm fully indulged into the game of football. I love it so much now. I want to see what Aaron Rodgers can do, what makes him so great. And today is a day that he's going to have to prove that to a lot of people. Are you still a GOAT? Can you still make these plays? And can you still persevere in these huge games? Or are you going to falter under a team who's literally rebuilt themselves in a year?
I think a lot of people are thinking the same way that you are, but I kind of like to step back, look at it a little different. It's just a different Packers team. They got a new head coach. It's not completely all centered around Aaron Rodgers. Their defense has won them games this year. Their defense has stepped up huge. Aaron's never had that. He's not asked every game to put up 35 points by himself to win a game. They haven't had to win in that fashion. And now they actually have a running game. That's huge. It's not all on Aaron Rodgers now. You're right. It would be great to see some of the flashes from back in his heyday, but I don't think that that's what we're looking at with the Green Bay Packers. I think they're a more rounded team, and we're just not used to it. A lot of people say Aaron Rodgers has fallen off this year, but it might look like that on the stat sheet, but if they're winning games and their defense is coming out and he's not asked to throw it for 35, 40 points to win a game and it's all on Aaron, hey, go get it, dude.
Well, see, I think that's how this game is going to be, though. I mean, the defense for Green Bay is a good defense. Same
Richard
thing
Sherman.
With San Francisco.
But
with the San Francisco 49ers, you have that three-headed rushing attack. Then you have Deebo Samuel. Then you have Emmanuel Sanders. Then you have George Kittle. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers have a huge weapon at every single position group. They are a very well-established offense. They have gone out and gotten playmakers. And Jimmy Garoppolo is great at just getting the ball to him. And that's what you need. That's what we talk about, game managers. You don't need to force anything. With Aaron Rodgers in the defense, when you have three rushers who all have over 500 yards on the season, I think two of them, one's over 1,000, the other one's at like 850. And then you have the passing attack with Jimmy Garoppolo and then Emmanuel Sanders and George Kittle. I mean, the defense is going to get worn down. San Francisco is going to score points. I do not see San Francisco scoring less than 24 points in this game. So Green Bay is going to have to match that, obviously, if they want to get this win. And that's why I bring up that question, who else, especially in the passing game, because if that running game shuts down early, LaFleur is going to leave it and put it all in the hands of Aaron Rodgers. First year young head coach, I feel like if he gets frazzled up or if the game plan doesn't work, he's going to rely on Aaron Rodgers a lot. But other than Davante Adams, who does this man have? Really nobody.
Where the hell did Jimmy Graham go?
I was going to say the same thing.
I mean, he was so dominant.
When he was in New Orleans.
Yeah. With a great quarterback. Then he goes to Seattle, not really the same guy.
This is what we were talking about with Jordy Nelson before the show.
It's crazy. Yeah. No, I mean, but Jordy Nelson, I feel like, was made a better player by Aaron Rodgers. Jimmy Graham was a great player on his own.
I just meant like leaving a team and just disappearing.
Just such a mismatch. That should be the guy that he's been able to go to for the past, how long has he been there, 3 years?
Yeah, I was
he's been missing, like MIA.
It's like Jimmy who?
Yeah, I don't even know who Jimmy Graham is anymore. So that's the guy I feel like needs to step up today in order for the Packers to even think about winning. The 49ers use so much pre-snap motion and play action, and the Packers struggle against both, like mightily. So everything tells me to pick the 49ers, but it's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers on the other side of the field can make a huge difference. He can win you a game. I don't care how old he is.
Yeah.
He can win you a game. And then the two running backs that you mentioned, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, has been out of this world this year. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that you can look at on Green Bay's side and say, wow, I got a real shot at winning this game.
And they do.
The 49ers are just really stacked. And I want to say this is similar to the national championship game that we saw against with Clemson. I feel like Clemson or the Packers had the best player on the field in Aaron Rodgers, but the better team is the 49ers.
And in the playoffs and the ultimate team sport – I mean, I just don't. And it kind of goes with what you said about Tennessee. I have no problem if Green Bay makes it. Like I said, I want to see Aaron Rodgers in another Super Bowl. I want to watch him for myself because I'm pretty sure I watched every single Super Bowl in my life, but I don't remember much from that Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl. But I want to see him again. But also, it's just I just don't see him with this offense being able to overpower the San Francisco defense, who should be the first of his worry. And then you need to worry about this offense. You literally has somebody everywhere. And by the time the ball is snapped, there are six different people in six different positions. I mean, of course, that's an exaggeration, but there's just so much for Green Bay to overcome to win this game, where San Francisco, what do we just have to do one thing? And it's pretty much just contained.
Yeah, Richard Sherman's scary out there, man. It's scary. I don't care what you say.
And I love how Richard Sherman is still one of the best cornerbacks in the football. Because he was on that legendary Legion of Boom team with the Seattle Seahawks. And then now he went to the San Francisco 49ers with them during this very quick, I'm going to put emphasis on quick rebuild. And then now they're fighting in the NFC Championship right now.
Were they 4-12 last year?
Yes, they were.
Crazy. I just want to mention that Richard Sherman was laughed at for not hiring an agent to negotiate a contract with the 49ers. He did a one-year prove-it deal, and then he signed a huge deal the next year.
One-year prove-it, as in, like, we'll sign you 1 year and you show us what you got?
Richard Sherman said he wanted to sign a one-year prove-it deal.
Because he knows that if he proves it, he's going to get money.
And he bet on himself, and he won.
I also think Richard Sherman is one of the smartest players we've ever seen.
Absolutely. Stanford grad.
That's
Stanford,
what I'm saying. I love everything about Richard Sherman. I love listening to him anytime he talks, because when he talks, it has stuff. It's intelligent.
He's articulate.
It's substantial, and it's articulate. And he is and I just like how he also just calls out everybody, because he has
Michael
it
Crabtree.
All. He has it all to back it up. Like, Richard Sherman, honestly, is just one of my favorite players to just watch and listen to in the league, because he knows what he's talking about. And honestly, he has that voice. He has that knowledge. So when he talks, you have to respect him enough to listen. It's none of those, like, I'm not going to listen to what you say. Like, Richard Sherman deserves your attention.
Hot take. Are there enough veterans on the Packers team to pull them out of this? Because there's a couple vets over there on the San Francisco 49ers side.
Name a few. You have Sanders.
Yeah, and you got Joe Staley, the left tackle, has been there for, 50 years. And Richard Sherman, you've got a couple other guys on the defensive end, and I'm drawing a blank. But they've got some, veteran guys.
The Packers
are a fairly young team.
Only have Rodgers, who has made
Devontae
it.
Adams, who has, you could consider that.
But who has anybody on the Packers that you know of other than Rodgers made it to a championship game?
I think he's the only one left on this squad that's made it.
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
I can't forget that, like, early in the year, I think it was like the first game of the year in the NFL season? It was Packers and Bears, right?
I believe it was.
It was like a 12-9 win or something.
I remember looking at the Packers defense. I didn't know one guy. Mm-mm. Like, not one guy on their defense. Yeah.
Except for Zaire Smith. Jair Smith.
Yeah. And that's normally how the Packers go. Same thing with the run game. The run game hasn't been with Green Bay forever. Ever since Eddie Lacy, when I say Eddie Lacy, that was when Eddie Lacy
pulled a Kelvin Benjamin.
Yes, that was exactly. That was when Eddie Lacy was like, he was still productive for Green Bay, but then the moment he went to Seattle or left Green Bay, it was down here. And I guess you could say Montgomery a little bit. Montgomery held its way. I think they transitioned him from, like, wide receiver or tight end to something.
Yeah, but then he didn't listen to the coach when they said to fair catch it or kneel it or something.
Yes.
And took it out, and then he fumbled the ball.
And then he got cut.
The very
now
he got cut.
They cut him.
Like, and so now with Aaron Jones, I mean, Aaron Jones won so many of my friends' fantasy leagues that last game of the season against the Vikings. I mean, and he just tears it up. You give him the ball, he's going to get yardage. But, I mean, this game is really hard to pick, but we will pick it when we get back from break. We want to hold you a little bit. Don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we're going to talk about the winner. See who's going to take who in the Green Bay versus San Francisco NFC Championship. And when we come back, we'll also talk some Carolina basketball, what is happening with them, some OBJ, and then whatever else we can fulfill your Sunday morning with. Don't go anywhere. This is the Rookies right here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Hey, this is Jonathan Stewart, and you're listening to The Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Welcome back to The Rookies here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. You can catch us on both ends of the radio dial, 94.7 FM, 1660 AM. Or if you're very, very wealthy, you can listen to us on HD3, 103.7 HD3. We are talking NFL playoffs, conference championship games today. We our split on the 49ers Packers?
With three people, I don't know really how you can be split.
We can be split.
Fractions are tough, Bernie. Don't worry. Fractions are tough.
Numbers.
And also, I really think you, Connor, and I blow the price of HD radio out of proportion. I really don't think
no,
it's that bad.
No, you have to have a nice car or a subscription to HD. I mean, I'm just saying, like, we're not built that way. But maybe one day we can afford HD3, like less blessed. But we are here in studio with Mackie G on the board. Liam Bishop, a.k.a. Big Cat, joining us today as a special guest. And myself, Bernie. We are having so much fun today talking playoffs.
I'm sad that there's literally three games left in the NFL season.
I know.
The Pro Bowl is
Get out of here with that.
Nobody cares about that.
Nobody cares about the Pro Bowl.
McCaffrey's not going, by the way.
I really don't. I would rather him not.
I like that a lot.
Because he's working out.
Yeah.
It's more of just like a recognition thing, I feel like.
He's going to look like Sean Oakman before next year, if you guys remember who that is.
I'm too young for that.
That Baylor defense.
Yes, okay.
It was a meme for a long time.
From like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It's like the most yoked guy you've ever seen in your life.
And then DK Metcalf kind of took over that title as well. So we were just talking, as Bernie said, San Francisco, Green Bay. Honestly, I'm fine with either team winning. Like, no matter what happens with this game, I feel like I'll enjoy that team in the Super Bowl. I'm going to have to go with San Francisco. I think they just have too many things. Or I think Green Bay has too many things to overcome. Rather than San Francisco. Like, San Francisco literally just has to stop either Aaron Jones or Aaron Rodgers. If they stop one of those, then they win the game. With Green Bay and San Francisco, you have to beat them on offense, then your defense has to beat them, and then you also just pretty much have to play a flawless game to beat this 49ers team. So I'm going to take Jimmy G and the San Francisco 49ers defense, and they are going to make their way to Super Bowl in Miami.
So I was thinking the other day, get on Amazon Prime, buy a cheesehead. I'm going Packers, man. I'm pulling Packers. I love their grinded out mentality. You know, like we said, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been putting up those numbers. Jones has been swagging out. I love when you got a good, strong running back there. Nothing gets me going more than just a ground and pound. We're going to run it every play, might pass once, just to keep you honest, and just shove it down your throat. And they can do that.
Then hit you with a long field goal.
Yeah. Exactly.
Love a long field goal.
Good long ball. But this game's in San Francisco, though, right? Mm-hmm. Meteorologist Bernie, do we have a weather?
Oh, I'm sure it's sunny in 75 there in San Francisco, but I'll check.
I remember the 98 wild card game. Everybody was cramping up, and it was late in the year. And just
what is up with
weather.
You in these 90s wild card games? That's like the third time you referenced
the high is 56. So what's happened is when you're a 90s baby, Mackie, and you remember the 90s. You talk about the 90s.
I guess.
Because they're the good old days. You guess because you were never there.
I was there from 97 to 99.
Yeah, but you don't remember the first 3 years of your life. Let's be real, Mackie. You weren't even a Panthers fan for the first 3 years of your life. What's to remember?
You're right.
So I'm going to go ahead and pick the 49ers. I'm going to have to go with Mackie as much as I don't want to.
Because
he's Mackie.
I'll stand alone.
We haven't even really talked about the 49ers defense. And Joey Bosa could be
Nick
the
Bosa.
Defensive rookie, or Nick Bosa, sorry. Nick Bosa could be the defensive rookie of the year and the defensive player of the year, potentially. Has that ever happened before? I feel like that's never happened before.
I don't think it has.
Rookie and player?
Yeah.
Luke did it rookie
back-to-back
and
years.
Then the next
year.
Right,
but one
but
person.
I don't think it's ever been two.
Do you think they'll give it to one person?
I think.
Can they do that?
That's what I'm saying.
I think they can.
Sure you can. There's no rules in the NFL.
I think it can be an exception if they're he deserves it, man.
It's like the Outback Steakhouse, no rules, just right in the NFL.
Exactly.
But 49ers, brother, their running game is just too strong. Aaron Rodgers, and he could turn it on. Like I said, there's definitely a shot that the Packers can win this game.
Yeah.
But just watching the 49ers all year and how they've dominated, and last week against the Vikings, I mean, that wasn't really a game. After the first touchdown that Kirk Cousins threw, the 49ers just turned it on, and it was over.
And the 49ers also are like boa constrictors when they play football. They just squeeze it out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Chiefs to where they score 5 touchdowns in 12 minutes. Or not. How much was it? 4 touchdowns?
5 touchdowns in 12 and a half minutes of game time.
Yeah, so like they just go for the kill. They're the rattlesnake. I also got bit by a snake in 5th grade.
I wish people on Facebook Live could have seen this motion that Mackie just did. Wow.
I
watching dodgeball.
And also, fun fact about me, got bit by a copperhead when I was in fifth grade. So I do a lot of big snake out
Mackie
analogies.
Mackie is not a human.
Oh, wow. And also, I didn't get any powers from it. It was kind of a ripoff. I want my refund on that snake. But with the Green Bay Packers and San Francisco 49ers, San Francisco just squeezed the life out of you. That's what they did with the Minnesota Vikings. And they kind of were a rattlesnake and a constrictor the last time they played the Packers, beating them 38-7. Like, that's no coincidence. That is just a better team coming out, a better coach team ready for that game. But I'll re-say this. Teams who lost by 20 or more points and played that same opponent in the postseason have lost 13 straight. The Packers lost by 21 to San Francisco last time.
Are they going
to
break that?
I don't know.
I think this is the day it happens.
And the Packers have also given up the fourth most yards to tight ends this season. And, of course, George Kittle is arguably the best tight end all around in the NFL this season. And he also leads the team in receiving yards.
Him or Travis Kelce, I'd say.
Him or Travis Kelce. And when I say all around, I do think that George Kittle is probably better for the run game as well. I mean, you see him just obliterating the side of the line that he's blocking. I mean, he gets pancakes. You'll see him get at least two or three pancakes today. But overall, my main deciding factor, Green Bay has to overcome more than San Francisco in this game to win. San Francisco just has to stick to what they do, but Green Bay has to beat all aspects of the San Francisco team, and I don't think that San Francisco has to beat all aspects of the Green Bay's team.
Picking with your brain. That's smart, Mackie.
So that's why I'm going to ride with the 49ers.
Okay.
But I'm excited. Both of these games should be interesting. All these teams deserve to be in this game. They all played great this season, or they had a run to get there. I don't want to hear anything about how a sixth seed shouldn't be in the AFC Championship. That is all bull crap. They deserved it. They have won 9 of the last 12. When you bench your franchise quarterback and bring in somebody, and then this happens, they deserve to be there. This is not a fluke. This is the team that the Tennessee Titans have been waiting on, and they got it. But can they do it? Can they beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Find out on CBS at 3:05. Now let's move on to Carolina men's basketball, who are currently on a 4-game losing streak. They lost to Clemson. I laughed. I made fun of them. And then my Duke University Blue Devils lost to Clemson as well. So
what a great day. You know who won yesterday?
That was great.
NC State. They beat Clemson. Kevin Keats is a winner.
Did Baylor end up pulling
He
it
is.
Out?
Did Baylor? Yes, Baylor
did
won.
Baylor ended up pulling
We got to go
out.
Back to this Mackie voice here. Mackie. Listen, when your team
loses, Kevin Keats is a winner.
Sounds like a 16-year-old blonde.
Yeah,
that's all
Mackie.
NC State fans I know.
Oh my gosh, Mackie, wow. You have some harbored anger towards NC State fans.
I do.
You should check that because you're a Duke fan. Carolina's much worse. Listen here, Carolina Tar Heels, Roy Williams. They haven't won this year. Let's just be real. They haven't won in 2020. And as a State fan, I really am enjoying this. Carolina fans come out and say, you know, just one down year in 30 years. I get that. You know, Carolina's dominant. NC State has never been. Listen, as long as I've been alive, NC State's never been a dominant team. Let's just get that out of the way. I don't know what dominance looks like when it comes from a fan's perspective. From all my teams, they're never dominant. But Carolina, just they're awful. They lost to Pitt. They got swept by Pitt.
They did.
You know how bad you got to be to get swept by Pitt?
In the ACC.
Now, I know they lost to Clemson at home, and they were like 59-0 against Clemson at home. You know, all the good things have to come to an end at some point.
And I don't think this is like the end. I think Carolina's going to be right back in the rankings next year. I mean, that's just the kind of school. It's the name. It's like this is a household name with basketball. North Carolina is a basketball state. Real quick, I had this conversation with my brother. I'm going to fact check myself because I want to talk about this on the next show if it's true. We believe that there is a player – at least one or two players on every single NBA roster who was born or their hometown is in North Carolina. And we believe that North Carolina is the only state that's on every single NBA roster.
That's not even counting J. Cole.
That's not. And so we're good.
And he could play in the NBA.
Yeah, he can. And so I'm going to go through and look at that because I think North Carolina genuinely is the best basketball
state. That's
how
we breed them down here.
Yeah, and you have North Carolina, Duke, who are always fighting for that top 10 spot except for the season, of course. But with Carolina, I'm putting the blame on Roy Williams. I've always think Roy Williams have had anger issues. Not the biggest fan of Roy Williams.
Yeah, and go to anger management.
No,
Roy.
And also this thing it has not escaped me. I'm still angry about this, about what he said about his team. I don't care what kind of motivation you were trying to get, or I just don't see how that could get some kind of positive reinforcement when your team is already having one of the worst seasons in the last 5-6 years for UNC basketball, and you come out as a head coach and say this is the least talented team I've coached in my career, or whatever he said. But y'all know where I'm going with this.
It's like an unwritten rule.
Yeah, you never say that.
No, you never say that. Well, I understand you trying to kind of get some kind of momentum and stuff. But like as a coach, if I'm sitting in my dorm room and I'm watching this, my coach literally says this is the least talented team. I'm like, why aren't you doing anything with us? And then the very next game, he forgets to tell his team to foul. When they
that's
lose
on
the game.
Me. I should no, be
so,
fired.
Yeah. So exactly. I appreciated so wait, I appreciated the university's karma, but the universe's karma. But Roy Williams has just not. I'm not a fan of him. I haven't really been a fan. He's a good basketball coach. He is a good basketball coach. He has proven that time and time again. But as you just don't come out and say that about your teenage players. You don't. Yeah. When, as a head coach, most of the blame falls on you, too.
You recruited these kids.
You recruited them.
So if you're a Hall of Fame coach, supposedly, you should be able to coach these kids up. And at least make the NIT. All right? At the very least. And in a college basketball season where top 10 teams are falling like crazy. Like, yeah. Carolina is
all
bad. So bad. And, I feel for you, Carolina fans, but I don't really care because you guys are so successful all the time. Boo-hoo. You just get it over with this year. I hope you guys don't even make it out of the first round of the NCAA or the ACC tournament. I'm sorry, Liam.
It's all good. I really don't have any take on this. This whole conversation has a bad taste in my mouth.
I know. I'm sorry. But it's just good. Being in North Carolina, and this is crazy that they're this bad this year.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody saw this coming.
Because like even with Cole Anthony going out, it's like, okay, star players hurt. That's going to hurt any team.
Carolina.
But a team to where you go on like back-to-back pretty much four-game losing streaks, split by only one or two wins.
Carolina is dead last in the ACC
right now.
They're
14th. They're 8-9. It's horrible.
They are dead last.
The team at the beginning of the year reminded me a lot of the Austin Rivers team. And that having that one guy, you know.
Cole Anthony being out can't affect you this much.
I know, especially him being a freshman.
But Cole Anthony's a fantastic player, and that is a huge loss. Yeah, the Carolina team that you saw beating some pretty good teams when Cole Anthony was in the game.
The key word's team. And if you can't get it done without one guy, I mean, and look this bad, I have nothing to say, man. It's just, and the Roy Williams coming out with colors is true, showing his true colors.
You're throwing your team under the bus. You never do that.
And it doesn't get easier for Carolina. They play at Virginia Tech next. Then they play Miami at home, which still could be a loss. And then they go to Raleigh.
This year, anything could be a loss.
Yeah, it really could.
Yeah, but NC State even gives UNC the business some every time, even when their players
are good.
We're
good for one every, like, decade.
No, y'all play UNC well, though, especially at PNC Arena, to where I feel like I see NC State get a win over a good UNC team on a fairly occasional basis.
Or at least bring it down to the wire.
That's what I'm saying. Like, NC State is a winner. It's one of those games. You got me. It's one of those games to where they do fight neck and neck. And real quick, we'll talk about OBJ like very quickly since we only have 5 minutes left.
Yeah, what a clown.
Rookie mistakes.
What a clown.
Narcissist, dude.
I think what he did, slapping a cop or a security officer on the butt, it's stupid. You shouldn't do that. Whether it's a man, woman, you never just go up and hit somebody on the butt. I also, not defending the action, but I also think that it was kind of crazy that they came out with an arrest warrant for him for a simple battery. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of... It's hard to talk about this situation without sounding like you're defending someone getting slapped on the butt or defending a cop, but like also the cop was in there. I feel like the security officer went in there looking for trouble, wanting to stop people who just achieved
that's their job to look for trouble, though.
Do what?
You got me. You're just looking for trouble, aren't you, buddy? What I mean is,
it's just like everybody else turned like a blind eye to them smoking a cigar after winning the national championship, except this one guy.
Yeah.
And it's just there were a lot of things that led up to this that could have been done. It's stupid. It's disrespectful. But I also think that coming out with an arrest warrant for it. And that's what, like, the whole money situation, that's a whole other situation we're not going to get into. But just an arrest warrant for getting smacked on the butt like that, like, you would think that a security officer would use some kind of common sense.
They have since dropped the charge, which is nice.
And they have, but, like, I don't know. It's
still
just,
OBJ,
people,
idiot.
But also, and people have said that OBJ is trying to take away from LSU by bringing the cameras on him. That may be the case, but I can argue the same thing with the security officer just trying to make a name for himself and saying, oh, OBJ just smacked me on the butt. I'm going to give an arrest warrant for him. And it's an arrest warrant.
I don't even know the cop's name, so I can't argue that he's made a name for himself.
I'm saying what he was trying to. That's what I mean. Like,
the video would have surfaced anyways because OBJ was acting a fool in the locker room.
If you get smacked on the butt and you turn around and it's OBJ and you come out with an arrest warrant, you're trying to do something.
OBJ's got to be smarter than that.
He's always looking like a fool and doing stupid narcissistic stuff, and everybody just always says, oh, yeah, it's OBJ. But, I mean, like, wearing the watch, it's like, dude, stop making it about you. If you guys were winning, yeah. Oh, it's funny that
nobody
he's wearing a watch.
Care.
But see, like, I'm winning the watch, I don't think that's all about him, though. But we'll go over if we argue.
It's
about
a time.
That.
It's for another time.
It is for another time. We will go on to rookie mistakes. Bernie, we'll start with you. What's up?
Well, I do think the Chiefs will win today. Okay. Frank Clark, you are my rookie mistake, and he's not a rookie anymore. He's like 4 years removed from Michigan. This guy, I really hope it doesn't come back to bite him in the ass. I really hope it doesn't. Because he talked trash about Derrick Henry, and Earl Thomas did that last week. And we all know what happened. We talked about it earlier in the show. So, Frank, rookie mistake, brother. Just be quiet.
My rookie mistake are people who still pay for pay-per-views for fights.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one. That's
no, like, what are we? I've seen pretty much every big UFC event by just paying $5 to get into a weird-looking bar in Salisbury.
Mm.
Now, granted, it is Salisbury. Probably cheaper than a
bar, too.
And, oh, no, weird-looking bars. It's
like a regular thing in Salisbury.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It's a fun time. Oh, yeah, I have a fun time every time I go out in Salisbury. But what I'm saying is, it's like, you walk in, you're like, oh, yeah, I have no idea what's about to happen with this night. But you can literally go watch this fight anywhere. I don't know why people still pay $60 or whatever, however much it is, just to be comfy at home when you can just go spend $5, go get a whiskey and coke and have a good time, and then you leave as soon as the game or fight ends. Rookie mistake for the pay-per-view payers.
Rookie mistake for me is not being prepared with a rookie mistake.
that was ours. Our first.
I'm kidding. My rookie mistake is going to be Roy Williams, man. You don't throw your team under the bus like that. And I'm a Tar Heels fan, but that's a no-go. You can't be doing that, man. That's just bad form. Bad form.
Thanks for joining us today on The Rookies, guys. Liam Bishop in studio today.
Big
Liam,
cat.
Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you having me.
You can
rookies.
Listen to us every weekend, Saturday, Sundays, 10 to 11 on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, or foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. We'll see you next weekend.